Did you know that wetlands are one of the world's most valuable places? It's true. I'm Morgan Freeman, speaking on behalf of Ducks Unlimited, world's leader in wetlands and waterfowl conservation. Wetlands benefit everyone by filtering and cleaning our water. Wetlands help protect people from damaging storms and help trap and slow floodwaters. Wetlands provide you a location for hunting, fishing, boating, and a place to enjoy nature. And more than 900 species of wildlife depend on wetlands for survival. That's why I'm supporting Ducks Unlimited's work to conserve and restore North America's wetlands. You can help too. Help Ducks Unlimited conserve wetlands by supporting its Wetlands for Tomorrow campaign. Ducks Unlimited. Conservation today, wetlands for tomorrow.
I wanna dream.
Some dream of falling in love.
I really like him. I think we have a real shot.
Others dream of galaxies far, far away.
The Force is calling to you.
And some dream of changing the world.
I invented the future.
But there is one night we all dream in gold.
And the Oscar goes to...
The Oscars, hosted by Chris Rock. Live Oscar Sunday, February 28th on ABC.
And now, before the next show starts, let's enjoy an intermission. You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn, a complete assortment of delicious candy, and a full line of cigarettes. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now. A tasty treat will double your enjoyment of the show. For your convenience, we shall keep you informed of the remaining intermission time, 3 minutes before the next show starts.
There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh, I want it, oh, I want it for my own. I've got to know, I've got to know. It is this place that I have found. What is this?
Oh, my God. What is that?
The following is a special color telecast of the 39th Annual Awards of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Stay tuned for Felony Squad, Peyton Place, Rat Patrol, and Iron Horse, which will immediately follow this special program.
One of the highlights of Academy Award night each year for motion picture fans across the country, and especially for those here at Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, is the arrival of the glamorous celebrities. A star of great stature, Mr. Jimmy Stewart, accompanied by his twin daughters. One of Hollywood's most durable leading men, Mr. Glenn Ford. And here's Patricia Neal, former Oscar winner for her performance in HUD. Handsome Rock Hudson. And ever glamorous Ginger Rogers. Robert Mitchum. And with a Mary Poppins umbrella, Dick Van Dyke. This year's nominee, Anouk Aimée, for A Man and a Woman. Here's beautiful Raquel Welch, Gold Pajamas.
Is this special Oscar show?
And the Oscar for Best Performance in a Crumbling Studio goes to Chris Earle.
Thank you, sir,
for his yeoman's work keeping this thing afloat every week.
Mr. Derek Gary, my co-host. What is this? This is our first real themed show.
It is.
Because we both love movies, and we can't let this one pass us by.
We're not really doing themed shows anymore. We've evolved past that.
This kind of fits in well with What Is This, though, because there's plenty of original scores and original songs that have won Oscars that nobody hears anymore, and I think it'll be special to hear these throughout Medford and the across the sea, because I have some people listening in Ireland and Scotland tonight.
It's almost the kiss of death winning an Oscar.
Yeah.
Because suddenly the song just kind of disappears.
Like, it's a slap of fate.
Name the last time you heard It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp from Hustle and Flow.
It's an awful song. awful song. I've got some good ones on here tonight that you may not remember that are recent. And I have the very first Oscar-winning song.
Very nice.
And it has Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, from 1928. We'll be listening to that one.
And
in the future, the Continental is what it's called.
And we're going to make our picks for the Oscar winners.
Yes, I haven't seen them all. I'm a little behind, but I've seen most of them. I think I've seen 7 out of 10. All of a sudden, we always have to watch 10 movies now.
Exactly.
You know? And I don't like that.
And they put, we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
The reason we're doing this week is because next week, I will potentially be sitting in a court for jury duty.
Yeah.
And the Oscars are a week from Sunday.
Rather be in the court than on the stand.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. I will be on the right side of the stand in the courtroom.
You can't handle the truth.
I can't handle the truth.
Remember that one? Few Good Men. That was up for Best Picture.
That was Best Supporting Actor nomination for Mr. Jack Nicholson as well.
Yeah. I miss him.
I could use a little more volume on the...
On the mic.
On the mic. Yeah,
I'm awfully... I can hear you nice.
Well, you can, but I can't, is the problem.
You gotta turn your headphones up.
No, I'm older. I don't... There's a whole range of sounds that I just don't hear anymore.
Yeah. High-pitched sounds like a dog?
No, I seem to get all of those still.
Yeah.
It's the low-range tones that are going now.
Luckily, I have bass. You're gonna hear me sing today.
Nice.
Yeah. This is in... from Ben-Hur, 1959, Best Original Score.
Good movie, that Ben-Hur.
Do you want to start with music, or do you have a plan?
Usually we go through these in reverse order from the. So this is a tradition. I've been doing this for about as long as I've been on WMFO.
Yeah,
so,
I usually do something similar to this.
17 years or so.
Yeah.
And I had a pretty good track record going. This year, oh boy, I don't know.
So you've got you got all your predictions.
So I've seen 8 of the 10 Best Picture nominees.
I've seen 7 out of 10, I think.
The only two that I haven't seen are Avatar: The Way of Water, which I know you have seen.
Yeah, it's good.
And because I'm not going to go to a theater to see that.
Yeah, it's worth seeing in the theater.
And the other one, I'm only going to make this joke once tonight.
Yeah.
Because... I admire Sarah Polley. I think she's a great filmmaker. And I make this joke with every bit of respect for her and the work and what she's doing here.
Here it comes.
I have really no desire to go see a silent film, which is Women Talking.
Hmm. Yeah.
Every married man looks at that title and says, that's a silent movie.
I'm going to go see it. It's still in the theaters. I'll get to it. Triangle of Sadness. You seen that?
I saw Triangle of Sadness.
Really?
Yes.
All right. You saw Tar?
I saw Tar. I will tell
Turd?
You that the worst movies in the Best Picture list this year, there were none that I actively hated.
Mm-hmm. Give me your bottom two.
The bottom two, one of them we agree on, and that's The Fabelmans.
Mm, yeah, shouldn't be there.
The Fabelmans, to me, committed one of the great sins of filmmaking, which is, at the end of it, I'm sitting there saying, why did you do this?
I call that one Spielberg of Sadness.
Yeah, there was no point to it.
Mm.
Like, what? The only thing to me that was interesting in that film was seeing the ways that he made his hobby films.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when he was in high school. And
well, the beginning's great. Yeah, the beginning's great when he has the train... And he derails the train and puts it on a Super 8. That's pretty cool.
But then the
and
rest
the kid
of it,
was good.
The rest of it is just like, what? Why are we here? Yeah. What is this? Okay.
And Seth Rogen. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's.
Oh! I have to say this about The Fabelmans. Best thing about it, Judd Hirsch.
He's in it for 2 minutes.
Right? Isn't he up for Best Supporting?
He is.
Yeah, he's good.
For his 2 minutes in the film.
Yeah.
I will say that Steven Spielberg spoke more openly and honestly about the impact of his parents' divorce in Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Jurassic Park than he did in this movie.
Yeah.
The other one I didn't care for.
He saw his parents as dinosaurs that would eat him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the daughter.
The
Hammond's granddaughter.
Sure.
Who reacts to, you know, being left in the car screaming, he left us.
Oh, boy, yeah.
That is a divorced child.
Yeah.
That's the reaction of a divorced child. And
yeah, not for me. I was kind of glad he left.
No, but that's what's happening in that scene.
Yeah.
You know, when the accountant runs away.
Sure.
What's happening in that scene is all of her feelings toward her parents' divorce. And it's kind of a throwaway line that sets that up.
Yeah.
That they're there because their parents have divorced and they've gone to the island to sort of get a break from everything going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
When she starts freaking out, she's freaking out about everything that's going on in her life. That is a child of divorce reacting to stress. And it's actually a brilliantly honest moment that is hard to find in all of Spielberg's work. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, it's all over the place.
Why don't you just call it the Spielbergs?
I don't know.
Calls it the Fablements.
I don't know.
It the Spielbergs.
I could have done without the whole anti-Semitism thing. Like, yeah. Gee, Revelation, kids in Southern California were anti-Semites.
Yeah.
No.
Close Encounters is a great movie. I don't know why you don't like that movie.
I love that movie.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't like it.
No, I said Spielberg did a better job talking about his personal experiences in Close Encounters.
Sure. When that kid opens that door and sees that orange sky and Barry gets abducted in the movie, man, that's frightening.
Let me ask you a pointed question about the Fablements and Close Encounters.
Yeah.
Would you rather see Roy Scheider give in to the depths of his obsession at the expense of everything else, or not Roy Scheider, Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss, yeah.
Would you rather see Richard Dreyfuss give in to the depths of his obsession at the expense of everything else in his personal life for a riveting two-hour movie, or have Judd Hirsch come in and say the same thing in 2 minutes?
Yeah, he kind of just sums it up quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better.
That's why he's great in it.
It's better in Close Encounters.
Yeah.
It's much better in Close Encounters.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I didn't care for, because the third act of it really goes off the rails, is Triangle of Sadness.
Really? I can't even comment on that. I don't know anything about it, other than it's about a cruise, right?
It's a film that is high on its own supply. It thinks it's being clever, but it really doesn't have anything worthwhile to say. It's another one of these capitalism is bad,
no
rich
twists.
People are bad movies. There are no twists in it.
Mm.
It's utterly pedestrian, but the second act, when they're on the cruise, is hysterical.
All right.
So that's a reason to see it. I would say once Act 3 starts and you'll know when it happens, you turn it off and go do something else.
All right.
So
in the background, we've got some E.T. from 1982. Before that, we had some Titanic in the background.
Everything else here, I loved.
Yep.
You should see Tar.
I'll see Tar.
Tar is...
That's on Paramount or something like that, right?
Yeah. I'll
check it out tonight.
You can rent it for $5
after
bucks
I watch
on
The Mandalorian.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's about cancel culture, and it's about changing rules in society and the abuses of the powerful.
Yeah.
It's really good.
All right.
So it was one of the best films that I've seen recently. So.
Should we want to continue through Best Picture?
You want to break them down?
Because
we've seen everything else. We've both seen everything else here. What did you like?
All Quiet on the Western Front is my favorite.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Brilliant.
I think the ones that shouldn't belong here, the ones I can't comment on are Tar and Triangle Sadness and Women Talking, because I haven't seen them.
I expect Women Talking to be like among the top four for me.
I'm going to say The Fablemans shouldn't be here, and I'm going to say Elvis shouldn't be here. I didn't really like Elvis very much, and I usually love Baz Luhrmann. And I thought Austin Butler did a great job. However, there's too much that is not Elvis, and they're using the power of the movies to create something that wasn't Elvis. And even though it got the stamp of Lisa Marie and Priscilla Presley on there, it's kind of like what you see when producers decide to say, hey, let's do a biopic on Elvis.
Yeah.
And then, oh, no, let's throw some other things in here that he didn't do just to make it a better story.
The musical numbers in Elvis are spectacular.
Yeah. When they recreate, like, the 68 comeback special and stuff, it's really cool.
It's so good. And Austin Butler is so good in those moments. The rest of the film just doesn't hold together.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite?
My favorite was definitely All Quiet on the Western Front.
Really? All right. We're in agreement there. I don't think it's going to win.
I don't think it's going to win either.
But it's a great, great movie. I mean, I was riveted, and I don't use that word that often, riveted. And I love war movies. But this one, when I thought something was going to happen, something different happened.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked about it. It was a very, very clever, clever script. And this movie's been made before. It won Best Picture in 1930, a much different version of it.
It's interesting because there's a couple of things about it. Number one, it certainly stands on the shoulders of all of the war movies that have been made in the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I say 25 because you've got to go back to Saving Private Ryan for where this sort of gritty, ultra-realistic depiction of war begins.
Yeah. And just to comment on that briefly, I loved the first third of it, and then that was it. Saving Private Ryan, first third's awesome. I didn't really like the rest of that movie.
The other thing is...
we're going to lose Tom Sizemore this week, too, unfortunately.
It has the benefit of perspective.
Yeah.
You don't see much of the French in All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah.
But you do see how the seeds of World War II are sown.
Mm-hmm.
And the original book is really just... a commentary on
World War One,
and what was and what it was like in World War One.
Yep.
So to get that added sort of layer into this is really something. I will put it down as very likely one of the ten best films of this decade, and quite possibly one of the greatest war movies ever made.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great movie. I give it a 9 out of 10. There's a couple of things that I didn't like about it. I didn't think this was a particularly great year for movies, but a good year.
I'll argue that because everything on this list, apart from The Fabelmans, which is there because it's a Spielberg film, I think it has something to it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's an inventiveness and a creativity in a lot of these films.
Yeah.
Top Gun Maverick, it really comes down to the aerial dogfights because the story is pretty straightforward.
You made a good comment on that too over the weeks where it's like, it's the Star Wars trench run at the end, but it's a super entertaining movie. And the reason that it's there is it's really the only reason movies are back is because of Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise worked all through COVID with his crew and he made a fantastic movie. Top Gun Maverick's very entertaining. And I didn't like the first Top Gun at all. But I like Top Gun Maverick.
It's a great popcorn movie, and it's good that a popcorn movie is on this list because it's, I liked it a lot. Banshees of Inisherin is a great dark comedy.
I think so, too, but it's too over the top. And we talked about that a little bit, but I think it's way too over the top. All of a sudden, it seems like you need a little gratuitous violence when you go to the movies sometimes. And when he's throwing fingers at the door, it's like, come on.
Yeah, but that's sort of the point of the whole thing is, how crazy they've all gone being stuck on this island.
Yeah.
And how far that character is willing to go to get some kind of meaning in his life.
Can you imagine if I was like, Derek, don't talk to me anymore, and then I start throwing fingers at your door?
I'd probably keep talking to you.
I know, and I'd keep throwing fingers.
Because then you wouldn't be able to text me anymore.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy.
And then I'd keep throwing fingers at your door. I'd become,
What else have we got here?
I'd be out of digits by the end of the week.
So, believe it or not, we've just covered all the Best Picture nominees.
Did we cover everything all at once, though? We didn't talk about that anymore.
We did not talk about
it. We talked about it over the previous weeks, and that was my favorite up until I saw All Quiet on the Western Front. I loved it. It's a great... That's also a popcorn movie, I think, to an extent, until the dildo scene. The flying dildo judo scene.
Yes.
Not judo, I'm sorry. It's mostly kung fu throughout most of the movie. It's very long. Super entertaining.
Yes.
But it's way over the top, and it lasts a long time. But was it Ke Huy Quinn? I hope he wins.
Yeah. When I talk about the creativity and imagination in the movies this year, that one stands out.
That's the most creative movie out of all of them,
If you remember Parasite a couple of years ago.
Yeah, fantastic. My favorite that year.
Which is a great film.
Yeah.
You can sort of see a through line from Parasite to Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
Where it's a movie that's about... Everything is a movie that's about something really, really small and simple.
Yeah.
Which is the relationship between the mother and the daughter. And whether or not the mother is going to acknowledge who her daughter is. And whether or not the mother is going to be happy with what she has in her life or is going to keep striving for some kind of perfection that has been pushed on her since she was a little girl.
Yeah.
And there's my two favorite moments in that film, one is the rocks. The rocks are amazing. And if you've seen the film, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen the film, start talking to one another. You get to the rocks, your mind will be blown by how poignant the rocks are. And the other thing is toward the end of the film where Ke Huy Quan looks at his wife and says, in another life, I would have been perfectly happy to run a laundromat with you and do taxes.
Right. Right.
And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And but there is so much madness swirling around all of it.
Yeah. It's all over the place.
It's brilliant. It really is brilliant.
Yeah, it's good. It's got a lot of good emotional depth to it. And also, it's about nothing at the same time. It's just about chaos.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. That's my number two for the year. Avatar, I thought, it so wanted to be creative, but here's James Cameron telling the same story he told in Titanic. They're actually stuck in a boat at the end of the movie, just like in Titanic. Yeah. In Aliens, he has the, you know, huge ships and all these, you know, flying things and flying boats. And he did it in Aliens. He's just ripping himself off. Plus, he's ripping off, you know, Moby Dick, the story, and, you know... It's good, but it's not great. But it is worth seeing in the movies. Yeah, and it's been around for a long time. I can't imagine that it's making all this money, because I went in and I saw it by myself. There was nobody in the theater with me. But that's the way to watch a movie now, I think. Yeah. I so enjoy watching a movie in the theater by myself.
Less risk of COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't go on Friday night and the theater's empty.
Also, people just talk and they've got all their phones on. Yeah. It's chaos.
I know.
Yeah,
I know. That's one of the reasons that I hated going to the movies before COVID, is there's always some idiot sitting there with a cell phone.
So we got Best Picture. We got 10 of these. We got All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, Way of Water, Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, Top Gun, Maverick, Triangle, Sadness, Women Talking. My favorite's All Quiet on the Western Front. Derek's is the same. What is your winner?
My winner, and I have Molly's picks as well. Yep. My dear wife Molly, who is at home with our son Bobby. We agree that Everything Everywhere All at Once is going to take that Oscar.
I agree. I think that's what's going to win. Everything Everywhere All at Once. I completely agree.
I think All Quiet on the Western Front is the better film.
Yep.
But if you think about the stuff that Hollywood likes.
Yep.
And the way that Hollywood likes to be a little Hollywood centric in what they give the Oscars to, Everything Everywhere All at Once is a clear winner.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Best Picture out of the way. Let's drop back to the categories nobody knows or cares about.
Sure. And the background is Prince.
And we go to Documentary Short. I haven't seen any of the shorts.
Documentary
this year.
Short. I can't comment on any of these. I haven't seen them either. Where are they even playing?
They should be available on demand.
All five?
Yes. There are. You can order on demand, possibly through Amazon, possibly through other places. A package of all of those movies, and you can watch all the documentary shorts or all the live action shorts or all the animated shorts. I used to make it. They're showing locally as well. I don't know who's got them in the local market. That used to be the domain of the Landmark theaters. They would always have them around this time of year.
Yeah, AMC was showing them for the last few years too.
Yeah,
they do a little short showcase. But I haven't even looked into that this year.
Yeah.
Usually I'm up on that with the animation, too, and best documentary.
So there's I haven't seen any of these. I don't necessarily know what a lot of these are about.
It says, Elephant Whisperers Haul Out, How Do You Measure a Year? Martha Mitchell Effect, Stranger at the Gate.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to guess. Stranger at the Gate.
All right. So Chris go with Stranger at the Gate. Molly and I are going with the Elephant Whisperers.
All right. Have you heard anything about it?
Nope. It sounds like people who talk to elephants.
Sure. Okay.
So, yeah. You know, who knows what's going on with that. Best Animated Short.
Sure. Best Animated Short.
I haven't seen any of these.
Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and a Horse. Flying Sailor. Ice Merchants. My Year of Dicks. Really?
Yeah.
An Ostrich Told Me the World is Fake, and I Think I Believe It. Too long.
Some of these you can actually see online.
Oh, you know what I'm going to pick.
Yeah, you're going with
Ice Merchants.
Dicks. Oh, you're going with the Ice Merchants.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Boy, the Mole,
the fox, the Horse.
And his horse.
But I hope My Year of Dicks wins.
Molly is going with that as well. Yeah. My Year of Dicks you can watch on Vimeo.
Sure. Is it good?
I haven't seen it, but I know it's there.
Yeah? Who's in it?
It's an animated film.
Oh, all right.
So, you know.
What's it about?
It's about a teenage girl who's interested in losing her virginity.
Come on.
It is.
Really? And that's the name of it?
Yep.
That's the title of it?
Yeah.
How about My Life of Dicks?
Because she was looking for some dicks.
How about My Life of Dicks?
There you go.
There's plenty of them.
Live action short, we have An Irish Goodbye.
All right.
Ivalu, Le Pupil, Night Ride, and
nice.
The Red Suitcase.
All right. What was this one?
Live action short.
Live action short. I'm going to go for my red suitcase.
All right. I'm going with Le Pupil. Molly is going with an Irish goodbye.
All right.
So we're all over the place on that one.
All right.
And then the documentary feature.
The background is Jaws.
Which a lot of these you can find on Netflix or HBO Max, or if you poke around, your streaming service probably has one of these.
Documentary feature film.
Documentary feature. All That Breathes, All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, Fire of Love, A House Made of Splinters, and Navalny.
I like Fire of Love. I like the title.
So you're going with Fire of Love?
Sure. I haven't seen any of them.
Molly likes All the Beauty and the Bloodshed. I am going with Navalny.
All right.
And I will tell you the reason I'm going with Navalny is because it is critical of the Putin regime, which is quite fashionable right now.
All right.
Navalny is actually one of those things I'd meant to watch when we had HBO Max.
Sure.
And never got around to it. We gave up HBO Max for Lent, so there it is.
In the background is the Hateful Eight score. Which one?
That's a good score.
Yes.
Believe it or not, that was Morricone's first Academy Award win.
It was, 2015.
He'd been nominated many times, had never won.
Yep.
And I don't know why he never won, because Morricone wrote some incredible film music over the years.
It was all for spaghetti westerns and stuff, for the most part.
Yeah, but he wrote some stuff for, like, other Italian films. You know, the Italians kept him busy, and Oscar said no.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
I like that he gave Quentin Tarantino a hard time at the end, too.
So that pretty much takes out the categories that we don't care about or really know anything about.
Well, sometimes they're great, though. I mean, I've been over and I've watched, like, the programs of Best Animated and Best Shorts. Usually they combine a couple of them. Some of them are great.
Yeah.
And you just can't see them anywhere.
I love watching the short programs.
But like the actual award, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Unless you see them, you don't care.
I've found them impossible to handicap over the years.
It's the easiest way for us to get an Oscar, you know. We should make a movie about WMFO.
Usually the one that wins, so for documentary short, is it about the Holocaust? That will win.
Yeah.
I don't think The Elephant Whisperers is. For animated short, is it in English and is it happy? And for live action short, is it happy?
Mm.
Like, that's pretty much how you determine those. Now, I don't know what's going on. I haven't seen them.
Well, I also like, like Le Poupi.
Yeah.
It's got a French name, right?
It's French.
Yeah, so that usually wins.
Apparently people really like it, too.
I like the name of the Irish goodbye, too.
I've heard good things about Le Poupi.
I do that sometimes.
Is it an Irish goodbye?
I give them the Irish goodbye.
Is it an Irish goodbye to Fingers? Because I saw the feature version of that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Animated feature.
This could have been a better movie. It wasn't so violent. Banishes of Inisherin. Say it again.
This is one that people have probably seen at least one, if not more, of these films.
Which one is this?
Animated feature.
Oh, okay.
We have Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it.
That's on Netflix, I believe.
Good? Any good?
Really good.
Oh, okay. He's always great.
Really good.
He was always great.
It's stop motion.
It's adult, right?
Yes.
So like Pinocchio does naughty things?
It's stop motion, but it's stop motion that's so fluid that you'd almost think it was CGI.
Is there a sea monster in it, like Shape of Water?
He does the whole thing with the whale.
Really?
All
right.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, all right, good for him.
And one of the interesting things about it was because Disney did their live action Pinocchio that was terrible.
Yeah, they do live action. I don't even know what Disney's doing anymore.
Well, they do it so they can keep the copyright on the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's their reason for doing it. But Guillermo del Toro's version leaned into a lot of the darker aspects of Pinocchio that people who understand Pinocchio know.
He's just a wooden boy.
He's not a wooden boy.
In this movie, he's not a wooden boy?
Oh, he's a wooden boy.
Yeah.
But he's not just a wooden boy.
He's a little more than that?
He is a creature
of the... He's a horny wooden boy.
He is a creature of the supernatural, and that does not sit well...
Really?
...with the townsfolk.
Oh, okay. I got you. So it's kind of like Frankenstein. They come after him with fire and stuff?
They come after him. They get into the religious aspect
of it. I got to see it.
The village aspect of it. And yeah.
So there's like a Jesus connotation there to Pinocchio?
One of the things about it is that Pinocchio is immortal.
Wow.
And that plays into it.
Wow.
It's good.
All right. I'll check it out.
Highly recommend it. Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. No.
I've been hearing a lot about this.
Yeah.
It's like a clam that like walks around, right?
It started.
Doesn't Jenny Slate talk in it or something? She's the Marcel the Shell?
Jenny Slate is involved with the co-creators of this. It started out as a series of YouTube shorts made during COVID.
Right.
It took them a very long time to get it made. Interesting.
Let me ask you this. Does Marcel ever take his shoes off?
I don't think he does.
All right.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Yeah, what are we doing with these, you know, sidekicks?
It's,
it was a Toy Story sidekick, right? Or is it Toy Story? Shrek sidekick.
Yeah.
Right. DreamWorks.
Yeah.
Does DreamWorks still exist? Does Disney own them?
Just as an animation company. That's all they do.
All right.
The Sea Beast, I know nothing about. And then the lone Pixar entry.
I have seen it. Turning Red.
Turning Red?
Yeah, did you see it?
Terrible movie.
I didn't like it either.
Nope.
I'm like, what happened to Pixar?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like a dud. I'm like, it was boring.
Well, you know what happened to Pixar?
Yeah.
Is they got bought. They got rid of the guy that ran Pixar because he hugged too much.
Did he?
Yeah.
He hugged too much?
Yeah, he was hugging people too much.
What's wrong with a nice hug?
They didn't like his long hugs, and so they kicked him out of there, and now they don't make good movies anymore.
What's wrong with a nice hug, people?
Yeah. So that's that. I'm going with Pinocchio on this one.
I'm going to go Pinocchio, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've heard about the first three. I've heard about Marcel and Puss in Boots. Turning Red, I didn't like. Sea Beast, I never even heard of. What is that about?
I don't know. I'm assuming a Sea Beast.
I don't even know. I've never even heard of that one.
There's a Sea Beast.
When did it come out? Yesterday?
I don't know. Some of these movies you look at and you're like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
The Sea Beast.
I'm kind of, if I get in the water, I'm the Sea Beast.
When a young girl stows away on the ship of a legendary sea monster hunter, they launch an epic journey into uncharted waters and make history to boot.
Huh. Who cares? Everybody does that when they go into the water, right?
Yeah.
Noah's a great water movie, Master and Commander. I wish that won that.
That was a good.
God, I love that movie.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
So it's
a man's movie.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
What is?
The Sea Beast.
Oh. So you see Master and Commander.
I guess I can watch it between now and I'm going to tell you to go with Pinocchio.
Yeah, I'll watch Pinocchio and I'll check that out because I hope he wins. And everybody loves him. Academy Awards love Guillermo del Toro. They love him. Shape of Water wasn't his best movie, but they love him. Pan's Labyrinth is still his best movie.
The thing that I like about it is that the American perception of Pinocchio has been Walt Disney for a very long time.
Yeah.
And the Walt Disney version of Pinocchio really has next to nothing to do with the original story.
Yeah.
It's all about the fantasy of, you know, the little wooden boy who wishes he could be alive. And it's cute and it's nice.
Yeah.
But the original story was made more for adults than for kids. It's one of those very, very dark European...
Well, all those early Disney movies were more adults than kids, like Dumbo and
But what Disney
Snow
did
White.
was he took the teeth out of them and replaced it with dancing fairies. And
who doesn't like a dancing fairy?
I love a dancing fairy.
Yeah.
You know, dancing fairies are fantastic.
Yeah.
But the original story, when you're an adult, is so much more compelling and has so much more to say than what Disney did. So it's nice to see Pinocchio sort of brought back down to its roots.
All right, what's next?
What do we got next? These are all things that...
High Noon in the background. Do not forsake me, oh my darling one.
These are all things that we've seen some of these movies and should be able to comment on. Best visual effects.
Oh.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Great.
Avatar: The Way of Water.
Great.
The Batman.
Pretty good.
Black Panther: Wakanda Forever.
I didn't see it.
And Top Gun: Maverick.
Great. I gotta go with Avatar.
Molly and I agree with you.
Yeah, we gotta go with Avatar. All Quiet on the Western Front, fantastic, and I love the drone work. You see like a lot of drone work in it, which you don't really see in too many big production movies. And there's some other good stuff, though. The Batman's great. That whole scene with the flood is awesome.
The scene with the flood, the car chase in the Batman is spectacular.
Oh, the car chase is fantastic. Best car chase in any of the Batman movies is the latest one.
I got to go with Avatar just because the whole reason the movie exists is because we can do CGI underwater now.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's your underwater CGI.
And honestly, the only part of the 3D that I noticed was when you were underwater because you had all these like floaties going by you. So it looked like all this stuff was floating by you as you had your glasses on.
Mankind has reached the pinnacle of his achievement with underwater CGI, and we will celebrate it with a little gold statue.
Yeah.
And then we'll all go die of norovirus.
Sure.
And that will be the epitaph of mankind.
Yeah,
underwater CGI. All Quiet on the Western Front, I didn't really feel like a special effects movie.
You know? That's what was so brilliant about it, though. And watching them, I watched a little documentary on it about the recreation of, they dug out all the trenches and stuff to do all the trench warfare.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like I said, those drone shots, and then you see, like, the guy that's just randomly up in a tree while they're walking along. I mean, there's some really clever stuff. And the color scheme of it, I mean, you get into cinematography and stuff, but it's so bleak. The visual effects kind of blend in to, you know, the cinematography and everything they're doing there. It's a great movie.
For me, the sequence where the Germans capture the French position, and then the tanks and the flame troopers roll in.
Fantastic.
Is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's one of the most harrowing things. That's
what they should have done with the flame troopers in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, what they do in All Quiet on the Western Front, is it's amazing.
It really is, because it puts you in the middle of that.
Yeah, and the whole tank scene and the flame troopers is fantastic.
It's so good, and it points to the futility of what they were doing.
And not only that, we've seen so many war movies, but we hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
And there's like four or five different spots in the movie where you're like, I've seen a war movie, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about this one. It's I couldn't recommend it higher, other than the fact that I wish I had actually seen it in the movies rather than on my little screen.
If you've
65-inch screen.
If you've seen Saving Private Ryan, if you've seen 1917, you have to see All Quiet.
It's a better movie.
Front.
I love 1917 too, but I like it better. The 1917.
I liked it better than 1917 as well. I think 1917 is brilliant.
Yeah.
The cinematography in 1917 is spectacular.
Yeah.
But it is very much a special effects movie, because there's all that computer trickery used to make it look like a single continuous shot.
Yeah.
When we know that it isn't.
In the background, 1977, best score was John Williams, Star Wars.
Best sound.
Yep.
I don't know what this award even is anymore. It used to be sound editing and sound mixing. Now it's just sound.
No, it's just sound, right?
Best sound.
Yep.
So if somebody recorded like an incredible fart sound and played it in a movie,
sure,
could that win best sound?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
Because it's a sound.
I would think so. You get Ben Burtt out there and just, you know, puts his mic under a chair. Somebody lets off, you know, a raspberry.
The whole movie hinges on this one fart sound.
Yeah, I'm going with All Quiet on the Western Front on this one. Avatar's in there, The Batman, Elvis, Top Gun, Maverick. Top Gun, Maverick had some great sounds in it, too.
I'm going to go with Top Gun, Maverick, because usually the rule of thumb in the old sound categories was sound editing went to musicals, sound mixing went to musicals, sound editing went to war movies.
Sure.
And if you had to choose between two war movies, you choose the one with the airplanes.
Yeah.
Because getting that audio perspective right for planes flying around is way harder than a gunshot.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, and because Top Gun made $1 billion and brought the industry back, if there's one award that it could win, and it should win, and everyone will be like, yeah, that's well-deserved, it's going to be sound.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that for a pick. I'm still going to pick All Quiet on the Western Front because I want it to win something.
Molly, by the way, is with you on All Quiet on the Western Front.
And the sounds were amazing in there. I had my surround sound going and things were flying, especially when the tanks came in, the flame troops. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's exceptional.
Yep.
Production design. We have All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, Babylon, Elvis, and The Fabelmans.
You know, production design for Avatar, The Way of Water, how do they even do that? Isn't it all computers, pretty much? Is there any production design involved in that?
You've seen it. Is there any live action in it?
Not really. Sigourney Weaver shows up once, and she becomes part of the water tree.
It's like, why isn't this best animated?
Yeah. I don't know. There is a little bit in there, but I guess, you know, with the military equipment and stuff. I mean, I don't know.
I'm gonna kick it out for that reason, because it's an animated movie to me, and that's maybe best visual effects. That's not production design if you're doing it in a computer.
So you got Avatar, Babylon, Elvis, and The Fabelmans in there. The Fabelmans, I think, there was something about it. Yeah, All Quiet on the Western Front's in there. The Fabelmans is, it's interesting because to me, I felt like I was watching a TV show a lot versus an actual movie.
But it's
with the production design. It's interesting, but there's a lot of spots where I'm like, they were doing this in a studio.
It's got a good kind of golden hour nostalgic quality to it.
Yeah.
In a lot of the shots. A
little bit.
You look at it and you can kind of see, you know, other Spielberg films, like all the high school scenes I'm thinking about Back to the Future as I'm watching it, because it feels very much like that. But how many times have we seen the 70s? I think they got to move on from that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Elvis, they had a pretty good production design in that. Babylon. Did I see Babylon? Oh, yeah, I did see Babylon. I walked out of Babylon. That was the first movie I've ever walked out of.
Yeah.
After an hour and a half, I'm like, let's get out of here. This sucks.
Damien Chazelle movie with Margot Robbie.
It is awful. And I loved First Man. I loved La La Land. And this is his first real stinker.
Yeah.
Babylon is bad. It's really bad. It's like to the point of, hey, you want to see a bunch of people in the 20s talk like they're from 2023?
Yeah.
That's Babylon. That's it. I'll go All Quiet on the Western Front, because I was telling you, I saw that thing where they built the trenches and all the stuff that went into it. I'm like, amazing, amazing. I'm going with that on this one.
Molly and I are both going with Babylon. I think the challenge...
They do some neat stuff in there. It's got a nice production design.
I think the challenge with All Quiet on the Western Front is it's difficult to tell where the production design ends and the real world begins, and that's to the credit of the movie.
Yeah.
That's how successful it is. You really do feel like you're in that world at that time.
Sure, yeah.
But with production design, Hollywood has this weird thing where they like it to be a little showy.
Yep.
They like it to call attention to itself. And if you're doing 1920s golden era Hollywood, like all the Hollywood people roll out and they're like, oh, we love it. It's brilliant.
Did you see Babylon?
No.
Yeah, it's lousy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to see
it. That's why I haven't seen it.
There's some neat stuff in there. But yeah, I don't think it should win productions. I'm going All Quiet on the Western Front.
Makeup and hairstyling.
Oh.
Once again, All Quiet on the Western Front is in here.
Yep.
The Batman.
Yep.
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Elvis and The Whale.
Elvis, or, well, maybe The Whale. Makeup and hairstyling, though, you know, big. I'm going to go Elvis.
There's two horses in this race.
I'm going Elvis.
There's only two horses
in Black Panther,
race.
Yeah.
And it's, it's Elvis and The Whale. It's between those two.
Whale, he's just got a fat suit. There's not enough people in it.
Yeah, but they love the fat suit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with you may be right with Elvis, because there's a lot going on in that.
Oh, yeah. And especially like the comeback special and all that. You see all the hairstyles and stuff, and it's awesome.
But I'm going to go with The Whale, because in recent years,
fat people got to win something.
Whenever the makeup is sort of that integral to the character and the portrayal.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. However, you're going to make Elvis Elvis, and he looked like Elvis.
Well, he looks a little like Elvis.
He looks like
a
very tan Elvis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very tan Elvis.
And then,
very smooth Elvis.
And then editing.
Papa Tone tan Elvis.
Achievement in film editing.
Let's do it.
The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Tar, and Top Gun Maverick.
The winner is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I agree with you. Molly does not.
Really?
Molly says Top Gun Maverick.
I don't think there's anything. I don't think the editing is integral to the movie, like Everything Everywhere All at Once. There's so many edits in there. It's almost like you're watching an MTV video at some points.
I will argue that point because of the aerial combat scenes.
Yeah, the aerial combat scenes are great.
I think people who know, and keep in mind these are professionals voting on this, I think people who know how editing works look at Top Gun Maverick and look at those aerial dogfights, and they're like, holy cow, how did you do that?
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's where Molly's coming from with this. It is impressive. If you're going to give that film a major award, this is the one you give it. I am with you. Because to me, I always look for editing that like enhances the story.
Right.
And there's stuff in Everything Everywhere All at Once that works because of the editing.
Right.
You've got to have that timing down for the joke to land.
Yep.
And it's just so well done.
And you can use like film editing, you can go back to Psycho with the film editing there. I mean, the shower scene is just amazing.
Yeah.
Not one draw. You never see that knife actually hit Janet Leigh in the shower, but it's so great, the editing and that horror of it. It's just the best. And I don't think anything in Top Gun where I was like, the aerial scenes are great, but I didn't take away anything like I did in Everything Everywhere All at Once, where the editing was just so great, and then moving it back and forth to the characters and the different universes talking to one another, and you know, it's great, and you could follow it. There's so much going on in it, but it's actually a movie that you have repeat viewings because it's just like, oh my god, it's like, okay, where are we now? Okay, I thought we're here, and it's great.
You've got to watch it once just to have just have that experience of it, then the second time you see it, it slows down and you're like, okay, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just throws stuff at you constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great fun in that regard, but it is overwhelming the first time you see it.
Yeah.
It's very flashy editing, and it's editing that really calls attention to itself. For me, Top Gun, if you were looking for like the traditional, you know, does the sequence really work and is it seamless and is the editing invisible? That's the film that you'd go for.
Sure.
So.
Alrighty.
Like them both. Costume design.
In the background is The Omen, which won Best Score. Costume design.
We have Babylon, the film that Chris walked out on.
Yeah. Lousy. Good costumes, though. Margot Robbie was great in it, too.
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Yeah, looks good.
Elvis.
Great costumes.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. And Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Oh, who's Mrs. Harris?
Mrs. Harris Goes...
How'd she sneak in there?
Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris is, as I recall, one of those fashion industry dramas.
Oh.
Or comedies.
Set in what decade?
Set in... Let's see.
It says it's is it on Netflix?
1950s.
It is not available on Netflix. Set in the 1950s. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let me see some images here. Let me just look at an image or two from Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. Oh, it looks fun.
Yeah. It's one of those historical costume drama fashion pieces that, you know, because there's so much costuming in it, is definitely going to get a nomination.
Sure. All right. Maybe the nomination is just enough for that since nobody saw the movie.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did see the movie, so.
What are you taking on that one?
So there it is. Molly is going with Elvis for costume design.
Okay.
Which I will say is a popular choice.
Mm-hmm.
I am going with Black Panther.
All right, I almost went with Black Panther. However, I think I'm going to go with Babylon on that.
All right, yep, Babylon is in the running as well.
Yeah. This is an interesting one because, yeah, all of these look like they have great costume design.
Disney gets, this is my theory on Black Panther.
In the background, Barry Lyndon.
Disney gets a free Oscar for hosting the awards on ABC.
Okay.
And I believe that Black Panther is going to get the free Oscar this year. The costume designer for Black Panther previously won for the first Black Panther.
Okay.
And this is one of those categories where being a legacy can kind of work in your favor. Plus, it is good costume design. If, you know, if nothing else in it is good. Original score.
All right, let's do original score, and then we'll take a little break. I'll take our first break.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yep.
Babylon.
Yep.
The Banshees of Inisherin. Everything Everywhere All at Once. And The Fablemans.
All right, here's the thing about All Quiet on the Western Front and why I didn't give it a 10. The score is very annoying. I liked it, but it repeats itself over and over and over again. It's this industrial, like, shock score, and I think it's too much.
There were a couple of moments. By the way, Molly has picked All Quiet on the Western Front to win.
Did she see it?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
There are a couple of moments in it.
It's disturbing. The score is disturbing, but it's over and over in repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a couple of moments in it where I was flashing back to Blade Runner 2049,
yeah,
which has that same industrial repetitive style to it. And I found it distracting and jarring in Blade Runner 2029. I found it distracting and jarring here,
yeah,
though it wasn't as bad.
Man, what a great movie that
as
was.
As Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blade Runner 2029.
I loved it.
Freaking amazing.
Yeah.
But the score, like with the revving engines and the and some of the nonsense going on in it, really took me out of the film in a few places.
Yeah. What are you taking on that one? So you got All Quiet, Babylon, Banshees, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Fablemans.
Molly's going with All Quiet on the Western Front.
Sure.
I'm going with Babylon.
I'm going to go with the Fablemans because John Williams is 91 years old. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And the score is pretty good.
It is.
And he has a Fablemans theme, which is kind of nice, and it fits in with all the themes that he's done over the years.
Fablemans.
You know, your Close Encounters.
Meet the Fablemans.
The score for Everything All Everywhere All at Once is good, and Banshees of Inisherin has got a great score. It's and the whole thing where he's learning to play the violin and stuff, it's a great score. However, the one that I remember the most, too, is the Fablemans. So I'm going to go with the Fablemans on that one. I want to see John Williams get one more award before he croaks. He's 91.
I know.
How many more has he got in him? He's not going to do any more Star Wars movies.
I learned something.
He's not doing the new Raiders movie, as far as I know.
I think he did that, actually.
Yeah.
He said he retired, and he keeps coming out of retirement to work on these things.
Yeah. Before we break, I got to tell you something real quick, too. I saw Ford versus Ferrari. I never saw it. I loved it.
Good movie.
Amazing movie.
Good movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing the new Raiders movie. That's why that came
out. I learned something about John Williams. John Williams played the piano on the original studio recording of the Peter Gunn theme.
Yes.
Written by Burt Bacharach. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
And Burt Bacharach was actually critical in helping to launch John Williams' career. John Williams started out composing for television and later made the jump to film.
Yeah.
But that's his piano on the original Peter Gunn theme.
Yeah, it's cool.
So that's pretty cool.
Noah's a great Catch Me If You Can. That was a fantastic score that he did, too. You remember that? Yeah, what a great score that one was.
His favorite, if I recall, is Jane Eyre.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good for him.
Yeah. I met him once. I got a chance to interview him many years ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's only been one time in my life that I felt that I had shook hands with an all-time legend.
After me?
And after you. Yeah. And that was John Williams.
Nice.
You know, great athletes, I suppose, like Tom Brady would have that same effect on me. But John Williams was like, this guy is the pinnacle. We'll be talking about him 200 years
I met John Wattis. He was pretty good.
He's cool.
He shook my hand and he gave me the little middle finger on the middle of my palm.
Nice.
I'm like, what does that mean? It's got to be a little sign, doesn't it?
I think it means come back later.
It's like, come back down to Baltimore and visit me.
Yeah.
Yep. He must be missing, what's his name there? Divine. That could be the new Divine, easy. I miss my calling. Pink Flamingos 2. Do you hear they were...
You're not enough of a diva to be the next.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. You want to do? Let's do the other round. That was best original score. Let's do best original song, and
we'll take
a break.
Let's take a break and then come back and see if we can't find those and play some snippets of them.
I have something very exciting here for you. I have a PSA from Alec Baldwin. However, it is a remixed PSA from Alec Baldwin. I will be playing that for you. That's coming up. And I would like to play the best original song from 1928. Do you know what the name of the movie was?
I don't.
The Gay Divorcee.
Ziegfeld Follies of 1927?
No, they had quite a few Ziegfeld Follies. But this is from The Gay Divorcee. And it's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing. And there's some great dancing in it. It's Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
So it's pretty gay.
It's not very gay. It's very 1928. It's a great song. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. You probably heard it before. The Continental.
Oh yeah, I know the Continental.
You know the Continental.
Yeah,
this is the Continental, and then I'm gonna play you the remixed version of the Alec Baldwin PSA. So we can get the PSA in.
Nice.
And we'll do a couple more original songs too. You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. What is this? Here with you until 7 p.m. My name is Chris Earle, and my co-host is Derek Gary. We're doing our Oscars show today, and we're doing our picks. Thanks for listening to Freeform Radio.
Prisoner's song to me. It's not a bad tune. What is it?
It's the newest thing over here. It's called the Continental.
The Continental?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I like it. That's the second thing I found I'd like to take back home with me. You know the words?
Beautiful music. Dangerous rhythm. It's something daring, the Continental. A way of dancing that's really ultra new. It's very subtle, the Continental. Because it does what you want it to do. It has a passion, the Continental. An invitation to moonlight and romance. It's quite the fashion, the Continental. Because you tell of your love while you dance. Your lips whisper so tenderly. Her eyes answer your song. Two bodies swaying, the Continental. And you are saying just what you're dreaming of. So keep on dancing, the Continental. For it's a song of romance and of love. You kiss while you're dancing.
It's not a
bad idea.
It's continental, it's continental. You sing while you're dancing. Your voice is gentle and sentimental. You stroll together, arm in arm. You nonchalant.